After the Packers closed out the regular season with back-to-back losses to playoff-bound teams, many wondered if Green Bay would be one and done in the postseason. The Packers never questioned it.
Throwing the middle of the end zone, broken up, incomplete. Throws left side of the end zone. Touchdown! Lacey up the middle, curls his way to the end zone for the touchdown!
A convincing win in the wild card round against Washington says the Pack is back, but can they sustain it? Can they do it again on the road against a team picked to win it all? Larry and I talk Packers and Cardinals next on Packers Today.
We're going in as the underdogs. Their stadium's going to be rocking, but the pressure's going to be on them.
This is the playoffs. This is the one that matters, and that's the mindset that we're taking.
Redemption in the desert for the divisional playoffs.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Lauren Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. Now, as you heard from Aaron, the pressure is on the Cardinals. They're the hot pick in Vegas to win it all, and the Packers are considered one of the long shots. Larry, what do you make of that? Do you think that there is more pressure on the Cardinals?
This past week, their coach, Bruce Arians, said pressure is something you feel when you're not prepared. And that may be a bunch of coach speak, yeah. But you know what's going on in Phoenix right now. You know that mindset. There may be just a little bit of individual pressure on Carson Palmer. He's 0-2 as a playoff starter. Now, he's had a career year, but he's 0-2 as a playoff starter, and I'm sure he wants to change that. But the pressure, generally speaking, as a player, it is what you make of it. It is as big as you allow it to be.
David Bakhtiari and Sam Shields have been sidelined the last few weeks. Now, both are really taking on a little bit more in practice and hope to return to action tonight in Arizona. Now, Larry, that would provide a welcomed boost on both sides of the ball if neither suffers a setback.
Now, you look at those situations. J.C. Treader started left tackle, did a fine job against the Redskins. And the Packers' young corners, they've been doing good all year. However, Lauren, starters are starters for a reason. It'd be great to have those guys back.
Now, these teams met just a couple of weeks ago. Is there an advantage either way from a preparation standpoint?
Well, I think both teams learned Sunday night who they'd be playing in the divisional round. And I think both teams have had the same amount of time to prepare and so forth. So unless one of those teams who played 3 weeks ago lost the tape of that game, I think that's kind of a wash.
So what awaits the Packers tonight in primetime? Here's this week's scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau.
Wayne, this one's been ugly with a capital U.
Well, thank goodness we don't see the Packers in this situation very often. They are going to fall here today, 38-8.
For all intents and purposes, personnel-wise, the Arizona Cardinals are the same team that hammered the Packers 38-8. 3 weeks ago.
That's not the type of standard we hold ourselves to. That's not the performance we like to put out there, and you know, on tape, and especially in a big game like that.
The Cardinals followed it with a clunker of their own, losing to Seattle 36-6 at home. The Seahawks put a chokehold on the league's top-ranked offense, and that effort started with pressure on Carson Palmer. In the earlier meeting, Mike Pinnell got home with power.
Rushed by Mike Pinnell, and he's hit and taken down.
Mike Neal did it with speed.
Under pressure, hit and sacked, up the gut.
The Packers can rush the passer with a variety of people and in a variety of ways.
I think it's better when you have a bunch of guys that can rush, that can give you different looks. I think we have a lot of guys that have a lot of different styles.
Palmer will hand it off the right side, finds a crease at a 10, to the 5, it's a touchdown. Man, David Johnson so dangerous with the ball in his hand.
The Packers probably saw enough of David Johnson, the Cardinals' late season phenom, 3 weeks ago. But now they will have the opportunity to right those wrongs.
It was just tough. You can't miss tackles against a guy like that. He's a really good running back and a really good receiver. And, you know, it just goes along with all their weapons.
But all those weapons did not lead to the blowout. 4 turnovers and 9 sacks were the precipitating factors. But between the possible return of David Bakhtiari and the play of J.C. Treader, not to mention the win over the Redskins, the arrow is pointed back in the right direction.
We know we have played better in the past, and we know that we have a great feeling going into this game and going into this week in preparation of everything that we did, that we have a great feeling coming out of it.
The Packers didn't do themselves any favors in the first half of that ball game against Arizona. Offensively, four punts, one interception. Let's fast forward to last Sunday. Almost every player said post-game tempo was the key to the victory against Washington. Aaron Rodgers said it was like a snowball rolling downhill that just couldn't be stopped.
No, they played fast, and a big key to that is having some success. I mean, you got to win on a down-to-down basis. Therefore, you can continue to keep playing fast. Therefore, you wear out the defense, and therefore, you have offensive success and score points.
All right, so against the Cardinals last time, the tempo was snuffed out, but penalties, sacks, of course, turnovers. In addition, the receivers weren't really able to win those one-on-one matchups. However, they did against Washington. Is this a sign of what's to come?
Well, you mentioned first things first, the Washington part. Devontae Adams on his touchdown just made a super individual move. Jared Aberderis on that two-point conversion, great example of a guy winning a route. James Jones, he wins his routes by being strong at the ball. Those are all encouraging signs, but this week, got to do it against better people.
Defensively speaking, I know I sound like a broken record when I say Dom Capers once again has his unit playing its best football at the right time of year. 43 sacks during the regular season, six more in the wild card matchup last week. What's been the key to the Packers' pass rush?
Well, Lauren, it begins with guys who can win their individual one-on-one matchups. Outside, you're talking about Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, Nick Perry. Inside, a guy like Mike Daniels, all talented enough to win one-on-ones. The other thing the Packers are doing real well is running stunts, where the defensive linemen crisscross and so forth. And they showed one against Washington where they actually had two guys running one way, Clay Matthews looping around, and he's got the closing speed to get there despite having to go around two guys. They're just presenting a bunch of problems for offensive teams trying to block them.
Still to come on Packers Today. When's the last time you were asked to be good at six different jobs? For Packers O-lineman J.C. Treader, it's a daily occurrence. Larry shows you how he's done it in this week's Chalk Talk. And later,
they came on the field, and I looked at them, and I said, there's no way these guys can beat us.
50 years ago this week, the Packers won the first AFL-NFL World Championship. Packer greats recall what it was like to pave history in what is now known as the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
Redskins hunker down on the line. It is first and goal to go. And here's the handoff to Morris, and he is driven back. He may have lost a half yard in that, right back to the 1 yard line. Second down and goal to go. Handoff to Morris. He's hit behind the line of scrimmage, and down he goes. And that's a loss of another yard. Third down, goal to go. Gets the snap. Throw it the middle of the end zone. Broken up incomplete.
Good goal line defense right there.
What an effort by the Packers defense to keep Washington out of the end zone. Here's a closer look at some key defensive stats this season. The Packers are 12th in the league in points allowed. They rank 8th in the league in goal-to-go percentage. And the big number, defensive coordinator Dom Capers refers to many times, the opponent's quarterback rating. At 80.1, that's 7th best in the NFL this season. Larry?
We're inventing a new award on Packers Today. It's called the Packers Fireman Award, and it goes to J.C. Treader.
The Packers' versatile offensive lineman puts out fires, the latest being at left tackle, where he solved a two-game problem against Washington.
Our offensive line played extremely well, and I thought JC definitely played very well.
Take a look at JC's pass set, the use of his hands, the ability to move his feet and shadow. You can't do it any better than that, and it was his very first career start on the hot corner. The key, preparation.
The last thing he can do is not be prepared mentally and go out there and you're worried about your assignment. You can't play fast. When you're able to play fast, you get comfortable pretty quick.
JC also put out the fire at center this season when he started three and played the majority of five games. That's in addition to spot duty at right tackle, left guard, even tight end. JC Treader, always ready, willing, and able.
He's unique that way. His mental discipline, his toughness is top of the charts. His understanding of the offense, he's a huge asset to our football team.
Now, another thing that Coach McCarthy said is he thinks JC can play all six positions on the offensive line. Now, that has to take a little bit more than preparation, doesn't it?
Are you doubting what JC said?
He said
it was preparation.
Yeah. I've never played position on an offensive line.
You're absolutely right, Lauren. It takes a special athlete. Every position, you just look at the fundamentals, requires vastly different footwork, from playing center in pass protection to playing left tackle. He is a very unique athlete. And this season, he has played every position every position in the offensive line except right guard, and he's also done spot duty at tight end, a special player, both in preparation and his natural ability.
All right, well, defensively speaking, a couple of things that really stood out in the win against Washington. Safety HaHa Clinton Dix and corner Ladarius Gunter. Starting first with HaHa, what has really keyed his success this season?
Well, he's got a great combination of attitude. He's got a certain nastiness to him and ability. I mean, he's a first-round talent, and he plays up to that pedigree all the time.
I love how nastiness is a compliment.
Oh, it is. This is a big boy sport, as Ted Thompson would say.
That's very true. Now, HaHa led the team in tackles this season with 115 and also added three sacks plus two interceptions. That's for Ladarius Gunter. If you don't know much about him or haven't heard his name, it's because he hasn't really played a whole lot this season, but he sure showed up against Washington when Quentin Rollins went down.
Yes, he did, and that's a credit to Ladarius's practice habits. He was ready to go. And if you go back to the preseason training camp, we talked about him a lot in the context of being another free agent success story for Ted Thompson. Another person that deserves credit, Joe Witt. He has all those young corners ready to go.
Still to come on Packers Today.
You had the sense that this was going to develop into something special, but none of us had a clue just how special.
Packer greats relive one of the most treasured moments in all of sports, winning Super Bowl I. As we head to break, here's a look at this weekend's playoff matchups.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Fifty years ago this week, the Packers played in what has since become the flashiest spectacle in all of sports, Super Bowl I. Last night, for the first time ever, the NFL Network rebroadcast what was then officially named the AFL-NFL World Championship. Recently, we had the distinct privilege of sitting down with some of the men who will forever be linked to greatness. Here's this week's alumni spotlight, built by Tundraland.
Football line up here. Got to take it down, fellas. Well played. Get them early, boys. Got to sell out.
It was strange to us because we were used to playing before packed houses and we were at the Coliseum and it felt like nobody was there. So I think it was 63,000, something like that. And it was like a soiree for the stars. And they said, Burt Lancaster's up there and such a superstar. It didn't feel like a football game. You had the sense that this was going to develop into something special, but none of us had a clue just how special.
We were out there warming up, and they came on the field. And I looked at them, and I said, I don't know why these guys can beat us. I've had that feeling. There's no way these guys are going to beat us.
I don't believe that I ever went out there with that group of players, my teammates and things, where I did not believe we were going to win.
Very astute football team. That's the thing I remember, that it was tough to beat us mentally because we weren't going to make any mistakes.
Going into the Super Bowl, we knew that the split end, which was what Max and I both played, we should be able to have a productive afternoon. But I went down on the third play. I've stood on the sidelines and felt sorry for myself, and Max went out there and did what Max did.
Max had a great day, a great catch on the audible, and that was something in itself, catch that ball from being way back over here. And he caught the other one, he bobbled a little bit and still scored.
What a day, man.
Shake him up, baby.
Come on, the two.
He caught seven balls for 138 yards, two touchdowns. I had not had a day like that all season. And I kind of doubt if I'd have been out there, I'd have had that good a day. I claim that's the first big play of the game. That's when I got hurt. I'll live with that.
I remember the turning point in that game was Willie Wood intercepted Len Dawson pass, and then we started piling points on.
Looking back on it, I didn't appreciate it as much then as I do now. I realized at the time, I said, this is pretty good. We got to keep this going. And we did.
Lombardi instilled in us that belief that, you know, if we do the right things, play the right way, we can win. That was the thing I remember most about those early teams, where we felt like, hey, you know, we can beat anybody. If someone beats us, they had a lucky day. To walk around and say, yeah, I was in the first Super Bowl. I mean, people go, wow, first Super Bowl. That was really impressive. It's special to be able to say that you were a Green Bay Packer in one of those glory periods of the Packer history. All 40 of us were a part of something special.
Vince Lombardi's Packers won 5 championships during his 9 seasons as coach, including the first 2 Super Bowls. Upon Vince's passing in 1970, the Super Bowl trophy was renamed in his honor. In total, the Packers have won 13 world championships, including 4 Super Bowls. Brett Favre and the 96 Packers won Super Bowl 31, and Aaron Rodgers and the 2010 Packers won Super Bowl 45. When Larry and I return, we'll highlight a couple key matchups in tonight's game. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Packers Today. Now, when the Packers played the Cardinals 3 weeks ago, you said you were going to keep an eye on the guys who were defending the perimeter. Is that still the case?
I give you a lot of credit for actually listening.
Thank you.
And even more so for remembering.
Yes.
I consider that a great compliment. Lauren, the Arizona Cardinal perimeter is still important to contain, but that is not what got the Packers blown out 3 weeks ago. It was 9 sacks and 4 turnovers. Those were the big problems.
With that said, what matchups are you going to be paying attention to?
Well, going back to those 9 sacks, Dwight Freeney had 3 of them. And generally speaking, he'll be the problem of the left tackle, David Bakhtiari, J.C. Treader, whoever. So he's got to be contained. And trust me, the spin move is coming. Got to watch that. And then moving inside, Calais Campbell, the man is 6'8", 300 pounds, so you got to anchor against him and keep those long arms down. And also this past week, Josh Sitton said he was very good looking. Never saw him without a helmet. I can't confirm that, but that's what Josh said.
I'll let Josh be the judge of that.
Yeah. He wins the mirror battle.
To the winner, the right to play in the NFC Championship next weekend against the winner of tomorrow's game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers. Now, a Packers win and a Seattle win would mean the Packers would host the NFC Championship right here at Lambeau Field. You know, I have a feeling what you're going to say, but who do you like in tomorrow's game?
Seattle, is that the correct answer?
Yeah, I think so. I think I read your mind there.
And I'll tell you what, they got a chance at Carolina. They may be, you look at offensive and defensive statistics, they may be the most well-balanced team left in the field. So go Seattle, and let's face them on the frozen tundra a week from tomorrow.
All right, go Pack, go first, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. When the game ends, be sure to keep it locked on Packers.com and all of our various social media accounts. There, we'll provide locker room reports, live press conferences, Larry's one-on-one with Coach McCarthy, plus all of your stories and videos from the game. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Enjoy the game, everyone.